And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, praise team. Thank you so much, Ryan, for pulling together Megan and Steve and Mick and Mike. And just you've just blessed us so much, and we're just so thankful. And a special thank you to Laura Paddock, for these beautiful flowers again, week after week. Laura, I want to see her garden. How in the world, so many amazing flowers that she has brought again and again to bless us. So good to see each one of you. And we were just praising the Lord today. Someone said to me, they said, that kind of sounded a little bit like we were in Tennessee today. And I said, yes, it did sound like we were in Tennessee. And you got to know, my mom was born in Tennessee. So I'm a Tennessee Walker on her side. And so I'm just happy to praise the Lord with this team today as they've led us. And the words, the power of those words, that though the wrong seems off so strong, he is the ruler yet. Amen. No matter what's going on in this world, God's got this thing. He's got it. So today we want to, and thank you for joining me, Victoria and Lily. Thank you so much. But we want to pray a prayer of dedication together over this school year that's beginning. You know how hard it was for school, for schools and for teachers, for students, for all that has been in the past year. And here we are now, and I've heard teachers say several times here recently, okay, it's so good, we're going to go back, we're going to be in person. I just hope something doesn't happen. So we're coming with this uncertainty as we enter into the year. So many concerns, so many wondering, is it going to work? Can we do it? So all of those pieces together, what we're going to do today is just dedicate our teachers and our students and our families to all together and just say, Lord, you've got this. We're placing them in your hand. And so what we're going to do, we're going to read together a prayer of dedication. But before we do, I want to begin by first of all seeing, is there anybody here who's actually started back to school already? Oh, I see hands. Okay. I see some hands. Oh, good. Kiara, I see back there. And I see right here, this young man, young woman. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're a student, I know this is going to be hard, but we want the young to lead the old here. If you're a student, would you please stand right now? Because we're going to pray for you. So students, stand up. Please be brave. Yes, Kiara, please stand. Please stand if you've been a student. Come on. And this means homeschool as well. It means college. It means high school. Oh, good. Good, good. I see Quentin back there. Thank you, Quentin. Good to see you. I think you're starting seventh grade this year. Is that right? And grown about a foot this summer. Good to see you back, Quentin. We're so glad for you. So look at all these young people. Can we just give them a hand and let them know we're with them and we love them and we're praising them. Now, are there any teachers in the house today? May I see your hand if you're a teacher? And I'm looking, and would you raise your hand, please? Okay. What grade do you teach, Victoria? You teach sixth grade at Hoodview Adventist School. And so we are just so, so thankful for you and all of our teachers. And so if you're the only teacher in the house, well, any homeschool teachers we're including as well, but what we do at this point is we'd ask the teachers to stand. Then next, by the way, before this is done, we're all going to stand. Would the families of children who are in school, would the families please stand with their kids? Okay, would you please join us? Wonderful. And now when I say families, I want to widen the circle because we are your church family. We're this three-legged stool here, right? We're family, and we're church, and we're school. We're all together in this thing, people. So, congregation, would you all please stand as well? And we are going to, together, read a prayer which is going to be up here on the screen. And when it says all, we'll all read. When it says congregation, we read, but the young people don't join us on congregation. You are part of the congregation, but don't join us as we read there. Then when it says children and youth, Lily will be leading you. Then when it says congregation, we're all together again. Then children and youth, then educator. That's you. Okay, Victoria. We are so glad you're here, Victoria, to do this. And then you will read, and then children and youth once more, and then we'll all read together. And together we are going to dedicate ourselves to God's purpose in this school year, that the light of Christ, that Christ would be lifted up and his light would shine into the lives of our children, and through our children that light would shine and the darkness never overcome it. So let's read, let's pray that, I was going to say read it. Let's pray this prayer together. And we'll all join together, all in congregation. Yes. Lord, we have come together today to worship and praise you, to dedicate ourselves, our children and our youth, and our educators to your purposes at this, the beginning of the 2021-2022 school year. Congregation, we call upon you, our children and our youth, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, that the days will never come, nor the years draw nigh, that you would say, I find no pleasure in them, children and youth.
We will daily remember our Creator. We will daily declare to Jesus, you are my Lord and my God. We will daily present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. We will not allow ourselves to be squeezed into the world's mold. We will live for Jesus to the glory of God.
Mm. Congregation, we urge you, our children and our youth, and our educators, to fear God and keep his commandments, which is the whole duty of man. We ask you to fulfill God's purpose to bless others through you by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God. Children and youth,
we choose with God's help to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our fellow students as we love ourselves, especially those who are smaller, younger, and weaker than us, and anyone around us who needs a friend.
Amen. Educator.
We dedicate ourselves for God's sake and for the sake of you, our children and our youth, to make God first in our lives, to have a heart of love for God and a heart of love for you. Our children, our youth, we love you.
Children and youth.
Thank you, Pleasant Valley, and our teachers for loving us. Thank you for being for us and not against us. We dedicate ourselves for God's sake and for your sake to make God first in our lives and to have a heart of love for God and a heart of love for you. We love you.
All together. Lord, hear our words of dedication to your purposes this day. And please bless us as fathers and mothers and educators to turn their hearts to the children and youth, and as the children and youth turn their hearts to the fathers and mothers and educators. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, hear our prayer. Please send your Holy Spirit and fill our hearts and fill our lives. Indeed, fill us with the light of Christ, all of us, children, educators, mothers, fathers, grandparents, church family, all together, Lord. May this school year be a year where the torch of truth is handed to the next generation, and where that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not able to overcome it. For Christ is the one who is risen, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's pouring the Spirit into our lives. This world belongs to him. Our children belong to him. May this be a generation that rises up and says yes to Jesus, a generation of righteousness, to bless the world with the love of Christ is our prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Before I begin our message today, I just received a text, which was while we were actually just before we knelt in prayer. And Carly Solari is asking for prayers that she went in yesterday into ICU. And so she's asking us as the church family. So Lord, right now we pray for her, for Carly. We pray for Krista's mom. We pray, God, for so many families who are not able to be with their loved ones, who are so ill. And we just pray, God, your hand of healing on each one of them, and trusting you with the lives of those we love as well as our own lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you an email I received recently. In fact, so it was the 18th of August. This email came to me. Dear Pastor Gaynor, this is the year of the locust. I started reading the book of Joel in my morning devotions today. I see that we as a church are facing a year very similar to the one described in Joel 1. I thought that things would start to improve once the majority of people were vaccinated. But now I see that the church is in more of a crisis now than it was even a year ago. The vaccine is quite effective at mitigating the symptoms of COVID-19. This includes current variants as well, but it does nothing to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And then the email quotes from Joel 1. Joel 1, verse 4. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Emil goes on to say, it's ironic that this really is the year of the locust. And then goes on to, has anybody here ever been back east when the 17-year locust actually emerges? Can I see your hands? Okay, 2, 3, 4 of us, yes. It's quite something. In fact, I think we're going to have a picture up here somewhere that you can see what these guys look like. This is not a locust. This is actually what's called the Brood X. This year it was called Brood X cicada. But the early settlers in America, when these locusts came out, they thought it was a plague of locusts. They came out from the ground. These guys are underground for, there you can see all the shells. They're underground for 17 years. And they actually feed underground on the root of the sap from roots of trees. Leanne and I were back for the birth of our granddaughter, Annalise Genevieve, back in April. We came home on May 5. The locusts emerged on May 10 by the billions. Literally the billions. In fact, radio stations actually go to different parts of the city and record, and then they report what the decibel level is of the sound that they make. It is so loud. So, yes, it is ironic as the email declares here, or it says here, it says, it's ironic that this really is the year of the locust, the 17-year locust, which is the cicada. And then goes on to quote, but not focused on these guys, but now goes on to quote, the fields are destroyed. The ground mourns. Because the grain is destroyed, the wine dries up, the oil languishes, Joel 1:10. Now I pick up again the text of the email. No one was ready for this. Everyone was counting on herd immunity. Now that it is a phantom hope, people will have to readjust to a new reality. Everyone was counting on the end of the crisis happening soon. But now it seems evident that we'll last at least another year or two. This is going to hurt churches very badly. COVID-19 has already had such a negative impact on church attendance. The continued uncertainty is going to put churches who are on the brink into a crisis they may never survive. Churches will have to do everything they can to help their members feel they are still part of the community. This includes both members who can attend in person and those who can't. The community of Christ needs to draw together. Amen? Yeah. We need the body of Christ now more than ever before. We need to dig in. We need deep roots. We need to be trees planted by the well. We need to draw on the living water. This is the time that Christ has called on us to be participants in his suffering. Best regards, Hope. And then a couple spaces, and then God is near. I've read this over a number of times. And as I read it, together with our lived experience in these past months, I mean, I'm thinking back to July, that first Sabbath of July, when people came in here with no masks on, and people were going, yes, we're here. And there was hugs and high fives, and it was just this whole sense of, oh, we're out from under it. We're under out from under it. And there was just that sense of, yes, we're back, we're back. But as I read this now, in light of what's transpired in the last number of weeks, I read it now and it strikes me as what we've experienced is loss upon loss upon loss. There's just been this, and especially when I say loss, yes, there are those who have lost loved ones. Yes, there are those who have not lost loved ones, but who've experienced the loss as the loss of in-person connection with each other. Just this week, just yesterday, I just heard a discussion talking about how grandparents who have not been able to actually connect with and see grandchildren who've been born during the last 18 months. This kind of separation that's happened and has pulled apart these bonds and these connections that make life sweet. All these things that we love being able to do. The loss of connection with each other. I think of the loss of connection even in church. Brothers and sisters in Christ that we've not seen all, you know, these many, many months. I mean, I thought back a number of times back to March 7 of the year 2020. In March 7, 2020, when every seat was full and the Sabbath schools were full of children. And it was, we were just, and I just think, oh, and I just, and when I think, it, you know, my heart aches. I just think, oh, what the enemy has done to try to come in and wreck the good thing that God does is people are together as the family of God. Our world has changed. I was reading this week that that the birth rate has plummeted while the death rate has just skyrocketed. Whew. And that means every single one, those individual lives, all those losses. In our home, we experienced the sting of death just about 10 days ago. Not related to COVID. Stay with me here, but it wasn't related to COVID, but it was the loss of a dear pet named Sisu. 13-year-old, but she'd be 13 in November, but our golden retriever says, and we were here with our grandchildren who were visiting us from Maryland, all five grandkids there with Julia and Nate, and here we are. And on Thursday, a week ago, Sisu went down, and we were just, oh, that loss alone, and we cried together. I had been hoping and praying that she would make it till September 1 because they were going home August 30 and all those pieces, but we were together. We experienced that feeling, but on that very same day, I mean, our loss, we felt that, but on that day was a day where at the gates, right there at the gates, the Kabul airport, you know, in a flash, here were those 13 young American lives, and 170 Afghanis who were literally yards away from passing those gates and the opportunity to bring their families to freedom. It's just tragic. I mean, just heartrending, heartbreaking. This very week, we've had, in the last week and a half to 10 days, we've had two families lose parents. And Mick, our hearts are with you, your family. I share that first service. We are with you in this and holding on to the blessed hope. Krista, and Krista, the loss of her dad, and her mom, who is in ICU. Mom and dad both in ICUs. I mean, there is just, you talk about the year of the locust. I looked up last night and just the number that I saw was stunning to me. That in the United States alone, 645,000 deaths. 645,000. There's a passage in Scripture that, as I read these and looked at this, that it brought home to me this passage of Scripture in Psalm 44. Here's the psalmist crying out, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Here's the psalmist saying, look, planet Earth here, it's like nobody gets out alive. It's just like we're caught, this planet in rebellion that unplugged, if you will, that unplugged from the life source and said, we'll go our own way. But in this reality, regarded as like sheep to be slaughtered. And the question that we ask ourselves today is this: in such a time as this, to whom do we turn? In a time like this, to whom do we turn? And you know who it is. We return to the shepherd of our souls. Amen? He's a good, good father. We return and we turn to him. Look at these words from Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. The Lord is declaring, he's saying, look, here it is. Here is this time where the locust is destroying everything and taking away all the bases of joy. And he goes, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with your heart. Return to me with your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. He's saying, come back to me. Come to me. Don't let this be a moment with everything that's happening that becomes a wedge that gets driven between you and the Lord. Don't let this moment and the tragedies around us, don't let this be the wedge. We're in a storm. This is no time to jump off ship. We're in the midst of a storm. Don't jump off the ship. He's saying, come back to me, return to me, and return to me with your heart. God has always been about the heart, hasn't he? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He's the deepest part of our being, this deepest part of the soul, just everything that I'm, just turn to me with your heart, he says. And yes, with grief. But what's happening in the story in Joel is the recognition that the God's people had, in fact, turned away from him. And in fact, you know, when stuff goes good, it's like we go, hey, you know, it was really nice knowing, but I've got this now. And off we go. And what was happening in Israel, what was happening in Judah, was you can't imagine this could happen. That there would actually be, outside the gates of Jerusalem, these gods brought in and temples built outside the gates, but temples built that required the sacrifice of the little ones, the children. You can't imagine that people would, that this would happen. And here's God going, look, he's going, come back to me. Come back to me. I'm the source. I'm your life. I am your life. Come back and find your life in me. Let's keep going with this verse as we go on. Rend your hearts, not your garments. In those days, people would, when they wanted to show sorrow or grief, they would tear their clothing. Now, that was a big deal. You can't just, in those days, you couldn't just, you know, jump in the car and run down to Costco and get another pair of jeans, okay? Okay, now you know which kind of jeans I wear. Okay, so $8, guys, $8, okay? All you guys with $100 ones, okay? But you can, he says, don't just go through this thing where you do this kind of the culturally approved way of grieving and tearing your clothing. He's going, what I'm telling you to is, he says, rend your hearts. Let the heart, because it's the heart that was getting hard. It's the heart where you're going to turn back and find me as your life. Return to the Lord. By the way, L-O-R-D, that's the Yahweh word. That's the I am word. That's the return to the one who is the I am, the great I am, your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Huh. Let's see. How did Paul begin his letters in the New Testament? Grace to you, and well, in Timothy, grace to you, mercy and peace. Grace and mercy. By the way, how do we define grace around here? Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Mercy is God protecting me from what I do deserve. Ah, here's this God, gracious, merciful, slow to anger. By the way, remember how these are the very words that he gave to Moses on the mountain when Moses said, I want to see your face. And he said, you hide behind that rock. I'm going to pass by. You'll see me from behind. And this little cleft in the rock. And he said, but you can't see my face. you couldn't see it and live. He goes, but I'm going to pass by there. And then he said, he began to give his name, and his name included the Lord your God, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He relents over disaster. Is that good news or what? See, it's not like people say, where is God in this pandemic? Did he just leave us? Oh, no. He's not left us. You know, he's got every one of our lives in his hand. I so appreciated, Nancy, what you shared from Romans 14 in your prayer this morning, that that no one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. We belong to him. We belong, whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. He's going to be the one that holds us, even in the midst of this. He holds our lives. And his call to us is to turn around, press into Christ. Don't let this 18 months and counting. When we start out, thank God we didn't know this. I don't know if we could have borne it. We couldn't have borne it if we'd known this. We were thinking, it'll be two weeks, we're back. Well, okay, well maybe, okay, by the 4th of July. Okay, on the 4th of July, there'll be too many crowds. It'll be all over on the 5th of July. You know, so here we are. So we're going, okay, press into Christ. We don't know what the future holds. But what we do know is that he is our solid rock. He's the one that's the solid rock in the middle of this storm. Turn away from the false idols of the political left and the political right. I mean, turn away. Turn away from the false idols of the political left and the political right. I'm not telling you what to do, but I've changed my registration to independent. It's helping me not engage where I want to engage. It's helping me go, hey, you know, the left or the right are not going to fix this. The governments of the world, has anybody noticed the governments of the world making things work? We need them to. I so appreciated Nancy's prayer. Maybe it was the first service, Nancy, I'm not sure, where you prayed and you said, we pray for our leaders. Yes, we pray for our leaders, our city leaders, our mayor. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our governor. We pray for our president. We pray for the people in the Congress, and we're praying that there will be openness to the leading of the Holy Spirit to do those things that would bring blessing. But we don't relate to that world, whether it's right or whether it's left. We do not relate to them and let them become false gods in our lives. It's the solid rock where we anchor. We have an anchor, the old hymn, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, anchored to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Wow, that's where we live. That's where we find our life is in him. Our life is him. He is our life. So no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what he throws, we have an anchor that holds to the solid rock. Thinking about what he throws, look at these words from Romans 8:35. Romans 8:35 is asking the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's going to make the case for the love of Christ in the middle of the mess. But look at the list. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. He goes, all this stuff, could throw in pandemic, COVID pandemic. Is this going to separate us? As it is written, look what the apostle does. He goes to Psalm 44:22. For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. I mean, he goes back and reaches the same place. He grabs for Psalm 44 and says, here's a reality. He asked the question, can this separate us from the love of Christ, even in the middle of this? Now, anybody remember the context of this passage? I tell you, this context, I love Romans 8. We were just talking this week, Pastor Greg and I, and we were saying, you know, it feels like we need to start. Oh, and it happened on Wednesday Bible Fellowship. We started talking about this, you know, do we need to start memorizing Scripture? Is this something that really matters? And I said to him, I said, it was Wednesday night, I said this to the group. I said, you know, by the way, has anybody noticed that Hong Kong is not in the news? But do you remember a year ago? And the people in the street and the people there saying, no, no, no. And it's all gone away. It's all shut down. People are already being carted off. In the churches in Hong Kong, a year to a year and a half ago, they started a full force, full court press, all in, memorize scripture. Why? A lot of us are going to prison and we won't have Bibles. A lot of us are going to prison, we won't have Bibles. We don't know how many years that'll be. Start memorizing scripture. Romans 8. Romans 8 was the passage that struck me as I thought. Someone said to me, what would you memorize first? I said, Romans 8. I mean, it begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? If you're in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. And it ends up with can anything separate us? No separation. No condemnation, no separation. Boy, you talk about bookends. This is not a bad way to live. It's like the best. So here it is. What's the context here? Well, let's go back to verse 31 and see that context of these verses. We go back to 31. It says, what should we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Amen? If God is on your side, who could be against you? God's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He's laid down his own life. In fact, we're going to see it next. He who did not spare his own son. He gave him. He says, I am on your side. I give my son for you. He gave him up for us all. All? He just gave him up just for the people who are in church this morning. Oh, no, no. He gave him up for us all, for every member of your family, even those who are estranged from you, those who wronged you, who wounded you. You know, he gave him up for him, for them. He gave him up for my neighbors. Even the neighbors that sometimes frustrate me. Yep, gave him up for them. How about the guy down on the corner living in the tent? Give him up for him? Yeah. See, this is the picture of the God we serve. And he said, he gave him up for us all. How will he not also graciously, here's that grace thing, giving us what we don't deserve, give us all things. Everything we have. You think about this. When it struck me many, many years ago when the Lord broke through my thick skull and took me inside out and upside down and death, resurrection moment in my life. I mean, I remember standing there going, oh my, everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. There's something you did yesterday you deserve to live today. It's all gift. Every breath, every heartbeat, every breath. This is all gift. And we live in this reality, this amazing God. So he gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Next verse. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? We go, elect, elect. Here it is. There was an election and God voted for you. You like that? There's an election and he votes for you. Aaron, for you, man. He votes for you. God says, election, I'm voting for you. By the way, we know there's someone who's voting against us. You know, the accuser, Satan. Okay? He's voted, his vote's cast. He's against. And here's God who says, I'm voting for you. By the way, there's a third vote in this thing, and it's ours. What are you going to do with your vote? You know, it's like, come on. There's this third vote. You get a vote for, how are you going to do this thing? If it is God who justifies, who is to condemn? Again, remember this whole thing about there's therefore now no condemnation? Who's going to condemn you? God's justifying regardless of who's coming in and trying to bring a charge against you. The prosecuting attorney. Hey, we got the goods on you, man. We know your story. Yeah, we know your story. We got it here, chapter and verse. We got the goods on you. You have no right to walk out of here a free man, a free woman. No. And here's God going, He goes, look, I'm dealing with this. I've dealt with this. I'm dealing with it in my own person, in my person. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. I love what Peter does. He himself, he does a boom, boom. He emphasizes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree in order that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. There's that death resurrection in our lives with Jesus. By his wounds, you are healed. Wow. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Here he is, fully human, fully God, but here he is in the garden. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Three times. Why would he do it three times? God gave him complete freedom to say no. The Father gave, he gives you and me complete freedom. But he gave him complete freedom to say no. And on that third time, he goes, not my will, but yours be done. And he fell to the ground. He fell to the ground, dying. I mean, it wasn't just hours to the cross. Huh. He's the one who died on that tree. But more than that, I love this. Here's the more than. You're going to see more than here some more. More than that, more than die. You know, okay, if Jesus just died, and you go, oh man, he was brave, he was a hero. If that's all we've got, then all we can do is try to be brave as we whistle past the graveyard. We walk past the graveyard whistling, trying to be as brave as we can. It's more than that. Not only did he die, but he was raised. He's at the right hand of God. He is there for us. He's there on our side. So you got the Father who's voted for us. You got Jesus who's voted for us. You got the enemy, the accuser, voting against us. I mean, this thing is stacked in our favor. Amen? It's stacked in our favor. Next verse. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Oh, we just read that one, didn't we? That's the context. Someone going to separate you from the love of God? Love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, COVID, pandemic. As is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. Regarded like sheep to be slaughtered. I love the next verse. What shall separate? Can anything separate us? And what's the answer? No. No. No, nothing. There is nothing that will separate us. No, in all these things, we are, here's the more than, you aren't just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. You are in the one, united with the one who went into death and who went there and bore it all the sin of the world on, and boom, and but the one who had, there was no, the sin of the world was on him, no sin in him, death could not hold him. On the third day, he rises victorious to the right hand of the Father. He's the one pouring out the Spirit of life and love and every good thing into this world today through the Spirit. He's won this thing. He's got this thing. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And we go, someone says, loved? What verb tense is that? I want someone who loves me, not someone who loved me 20 years ago. Oh, don't miss this. The one who loved us is going past tense to point to the cross. More than conquerors through him who loved us by going to the tree. I mean, we have this up here like it's a beautiful piece of Christian art. This is a horrible, horrible thing. We get used to coming and seeing it. But when we first put it up in the sanctuary years ago now, I would come in every and just feel like I want to throw up when I look at it. I mean, this is what he did. This is his love for us, that he would go there in order to open the door of life for you and me. Wow. I want to take a step back and just think through this whole thing of suffering. What is God doing through the suffering? What is he wanting us to experience through it? We're seeing that the text is declaring that we are coming through as more than conquerors. But what's happening in the tribulation and distress and danger and nakedness and sword and COVID and all the rest? What is it? I want to share this. This is from Leanne's Bible, and it's the Life Principle Bible. Charles Stanley has some comments, and he's asking the question about suffering here. And he says, have you ever caught yourself wishing for the good old days? I'm going to confess that I have. In fact, I did it this week again. I was in 2019, we had a family reunion. Our kids from back east can only come and see us every other year. And so they were here 2019, and we were all together in a place called Wenatchee, one of my favorite words in the whole language, but Wenatchee. And they were in Wenatchee. We were all together. And one morning, we all went down by the Columbia River, and there was a photographer who met us and took these pictures. And as you come into our house, you'll see pictures of that day, of all three of our children's families and our grandkids. At that point, it was 7, and now we have 9. So we're praising God. But there we were, and the smiles and the... Anybody ever wish for the good old days? I remember looking at it thinking, oh, I wish it was 2019. You know, trials come, no matter who you are or what you do. Suffering molds, prepares, and perfects us in a variety of ways. Pressure from without increases pressure within. Yeah, experience that. We feel it as the darkness lingers, the pain increases, and the disappointment goes on and on and on. Ooh. In the spiritual realm, however, we do not have to yield to the mounting pressure. We can diffuse it by placing it on the altar of God and allowing Him to handle our hurts. You saw what I just did? When I pray and I know there's something I'm carrying, I physically, in my prayers, I go, Lord, this is too heavy for me. And in my prayer, I physically hand it to Him. I don't want to stay with my little hands folded here. I'm like, and I lay it down. I lay it on Him. Suffering beyond our control proves to us that we are not omnipotent. You know, all powerful, we got this thing. Oh yeah. Like, you know, suddenly we become acutely aware of an authority higher than ourselves. Someone whose insight and wisdom outranks our own. We need a Savior. By the way, good news. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. Amen. We need the Savior. We have a Savior. What does it say? Someone greater than our biggest fear. What's your biggest fear this morning? What's your biggest fear? What's your greatest fear this morning? It says, someone, our Savior, someone greater than our biggest or our greatest fear. Someone able to meet all of our needs. Only through His grace can we learn the truth concerning suffering. God uses suffering to help us experience His immense love. If you're in it right now, in that suffering, that may be hard for you to hear. You may go, oh, I can hardly receive this. It's when we look back and we go, oh, God uses suffering to help us experience His immense love. Maybe you're facing a time of suffering. You think the emotional pain is more than you can bear. Perhaps you're dealing with a series of disappointments. Instead of becoming fearful, which is a frequent ploy of Satan to pull you away from the will of God, ask the Lord to show you, God, what are you doing in my life? There was a great preacher named Charles Spurgeon who made this statement. God knows that soldiers are only made in battle. Not on the training field. Soldiers are made in battle. That's where we are. They can't be grown up in peaceful times. We may grow the stuff of which soldiers are made, but soldiers are made in battle. Is He not developing in you the qualities of the soldier by throwing you into the heat of battle, even now? And should you not use every application of God's gift to come as one who is conqueror? What did the text say? If we could go back there, Kevin, verse 37, that we are more than conquerors, more than conqueror who him through him who loved us. What that means is the more than conquerors through him who loves us, what it means is that you and I are not operating from scarcity. We are operating, yes, here it is, more in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are not operating with the more than from scarcity. We are operating from abundance in our lives. Okay? In Christ, we're operating from abundance. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And now you say, well, more than conquerors. Well, what's that? What's this abundance? What are you talking about? Look at this verse from Romans 5:17. 5:17. In 5:17, I love 5. It's the two Adams. Adam 1, Adam 2, if you remember. For if because of one man's trespass, that'd be Adam and Eve, that unit, one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man. When I hear that word death reigned, I see a picture of, it's Halloween. You know, it's the skull. And it's this skull and this skeleton with this skull. And this skull is just looking there and he's got his teeth and he's got a crown on his head. And he got the crown, got this kind of old purple robe and got a scepter there. And there he is. And he's going, being held by this skeleton hand. And, you know, death reigned, okay? And then the next words are what? Much more. If death reigned through one man's trespass, much more will those who receive the abundance of God who is for us, not against us, God who gives us what we don't deserve, the abundance of grace, and the free gift of righteousness. What? Yeah. The free gift of righteousness, here it is. This is you and me. Much more abundance, reign in life. What? You and I reign in life in the middle of the mess? We reign with Christ who's already, he said we're already seated with him in heavenly places. We reign in life. We are filled with this abundance of grace that God is pouring into us and the Spirit that he pours into our lives. And so in the middle of this, we're experiencing the joy of the Lord, and that joy is our strength. And there's a light that is in our lives, and that light shines in the darkness. And in our family and the neighbors, people around us, they're going, what is this? And they're drawn to the Jesus. They're drawn to the Jesus through us when they see his light shine as we reign in life through the one man. And I put in parentheses, I put the one man. This is the true human being. The one who is dead, utterly dead, lifeless, finished. Satan is just laughing that horrible laugh. We've got it. We've won. He's gone. And boom, on the third day, the one man. The one man. Can you imagine this? At the heart of the universe, the creator of the universe, a human being is standing next to the throne of God. Human form is standing this very moment, this day. A human form is at the center of the universe with God the Father standing and standing. How do we know he's standing? Because when Stephen, he went up and sat with him at the right hand of God. When Stephen was being stoned, Stephen looked up and said, I see the Son of Man standing by the right hand of God. He's standing up for you and he's standing up for me. A human being at the center of the universe today. Human form. The God-man Jesus, but he's there, the one man, Christ Jesus, through him, you and I reign in life. We reign in life through him. So let's finish it out there with Romans 8, Romans 8, 38. We go back there. I am sure, he says, this is not like, well, I kind of think maybe based on what I was reading somewhere. No, I am sure, neither, what's the first word? Death. The fear of death, which Hebrews 2 talks about how it has made all of us slaves. The fear of death. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor whatever government rulers do, nor things present, things to come, power, height, depth, anything else in all creation will ever, I guess I just added the word ever, didn't I? But I think it's true. Ever be able to separate, will be able, none of this will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, And all God's people shouted, hallelujah. Wow. Whew. Okay, we got to end in Joel. It was Joel that we heard about the year of the locust and everything destroyed by the locust. Come back to Joel. We go to Joel 2. Look at these words. The Lord says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Is that good news or what? I will restore it to you. A hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You go, what? God, did God, was God in the lab, you know, developing this turbo? No, the enemy did that. But God has allowed it. In the midst of a world that is running headlong for the edge of the cliff, something he's allowing to wake us up. He's holding lives whether live or die. God, this God of love, in the midst of this mess, he says, I'm going to restore to you. I'll restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten. Let's keep going. The next verse. You shall eat in plenty. Isn't this good news? You're going to eat in plenty, and you'll be satisfied, and you're going to praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Whew. Wow, this God really is for us. Man, oh man, oh man. Next verse. You shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. I'm right in the middle of you. I'm in your midst. Oh, what did he say? You call his name Jesus, he will save his people from their sins, and you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Emmanuel, God. Emmanuel, I'm in the midst of you. This is salvation. This is restoration to the presence of God. This, he says, and I'm in the midst of you, and I am the Lord your God, and there's none else. Don't be looking somewhere else for an answer. I am your answer. I am your life. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Look at the next verse. This is wild. A run-on sentence. And it will come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit. What? Are you telling me that being in the middle of this mess, God is drawing us to come and we press into him and we press into him and we praise him and we are satisfied in him? And in the midst of this, he's preparing us for the greatest revival that's ever happened on planet Earth. He is preparing to pour out the Holy Spirit in the lives of his people on this earth in order to reach out to all of his people who are still out there scattered, his scattered flock. Revelation 18, there will be a loud cry that will lighten the whole earth. And that loud cry, Sister White says that there will be uncounted, untold multitudes. I'm believing millions. I'm believing hundreds of millions. People that are going to, in that last loud great cry, as God's people declare the goodness of God, that are going to turn to him. He's preparing for this, pouring out his flesh on my flesh on all flesh, or my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. Your young men see visions. Last verse, 29. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I'll pour out my spirit. He says, I'm pouring it out on my people. The whole world is going to hear it. And you're going to see people turning to the Lord in just beyond comprehension of what God does before Jesus comes again. He's preparing. What's God doing in the middle of this pandemic? He's preparing his people for revival. In a way that Christ will be lifted up and the light will shine that lightens the whole earth. And so we live and we rejoice in this good news of the God who is for us, not against us. Let's sing it. Arise, arise, my soul, and sing.